Good morning.
Yes.
Sunny, warm. I don't know about you, but walking on my grass is starting to become torture chamber, especially if you go across with bare feet, you know, because we got a lot of different type of grass. Some you call it weeds and stuff of that, but and it gets spiky and stuff of that, so it's kind of tough on the feet there. So, yeah. Don't come to my lawn unless you're wearing shoes. But praise the Lord for the sunshine, and we know that the rain will come because He is gracious as well. So we just trust in that as well. Wonderful. For the last three nights, not last night, but the three nights before that, we've had the joy of all these different graduate opportunities, seeing Nolan at CPI first with many other students from other, I think, Penns Valley, Bellefonte, and Bald Eagle go with CPI. So there's several things, several kids there. And then also with the baccalaureate, had that one evening, a lot of awards. They said like $47,000 worth of awards were handed out. And Nate was, how rich are you now, man? Nolan got some, and this guy, there's other people who are up there all the time. I thought they should have just set you all up there because the exercise was wonderful. Watching everybody get up and walk around, circle, going up to the stage and backing around. And then, of course, the graduate ceremony on Friday night, which was wonderful. It's been a while since I've been to a graduate ceremony. And I thought this was really well done, and it was great to see all the kids, and it was just great to see the kids interacting with one another, and I'm sure a lot of you have grown up with one another, and even with Nolan, be able to make some friends, even in just the 2.5 years that he's been here, but, you know, just starting to be able to talk and take pictures and just enjoy the moment. So those times are very special, you know, and we have special times. Talking about, you know, holding firmly here, and we tend to hold firmly to special times, and we hold firmly to hands, you know, of little children when you're walking out in the street or something, or walking in a park or somewhere, or you hold firmly sometimes to your beliefs, you know, and some people hold firmly to their habits. They just don't want to let go of those things. Some turn into addictions, and actually that turns to where it holds on to us firmly. And then, of course, if the old monkey and the banana in the jar. Do you remember that one? You got the banana in the jar. The monkey goes, ooh, I want that. Sticks his hand, grabs the banana, can't get his hand out. Ooh, he's trapped. He won't let go. You see, we have a tendency to do that. Not all things, though they seem beneficial to us, not all things we hold firmly to are beneficial for us. All right? And we're talking today, the writer of Hebrews, you know, God ultimately is a writer speaking through His people, and He's making some observations here in His Word. And first of all, one thing He says is, hold firmly to the faith we profess. So if you're going to hold on to something, hold on to that. Now, there's many, many other people around the world that hold on firmly to their faith. You know, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, and many others, right? So there's, you know, you have to figure out, you know, what are you holding on to, right? And that's what we're looking at today. What are we holding on to? And one thing about, and is it beneficial to us, right? So what are we holding on to, and is it beneficial to us? I mean, here's this, it's pretty beneficial to that little kitten, because there's probably a big dog underneath there going, arr, like that. You know, and the hands, of course, grabbing on to one another and stuff. So what is beneficial? One thing also about Hebrews, and we're going to go a little bit more into it, a little bit more, but the next several chapters, you're talking about this high priesthood. And what is it? What is the high priesthood, and why is it important to us? You know, what do we get for, you know, why do we even need it? Why do we need a high priest? It's kind of a strange thing these days, think about a high priest. You know, so we're going to be looking and discovering things about, a little bit more about that. And like I said, there's more chapters ahead in Hebrews, you know, because this is a very central part of Hebrews, talking about the high priest and who he is and what he's done for us, for that to guide us in our walk with Christ, and even those who don't know Christ yet. Let's pray before we mosey along here. Father God, we thank you for your love and care and for your word. That is the truth that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is God-breathed word. It is a word that is alive and active, as we learned last week. It moves and changes us and teaches us and guides us and convicts us. Lord, may your word go forth today by the power of your Holy Spirit to draw us closer to you, to draw us near to you, to teach us more about you, to empower us, to encourage us to go and be lights in our community and in our world, Lord. So bless this time, and may you receive the glory and praise in it. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the high priest description. So you look here, actually, when you look down, skipping from, because we started at 14, but we'll skip over to really verse 1 in chapter 5. And it's really we've been working on job descriptions here for, you know, the different type of ministry positions in the church, and hopefully that's going to be done pretty soon. In fact, it's pretty much done. It's important to know what you're to do. If you're going to take this position, you know, what is it that, what are your responsibilities? So if you look at the high priest, and this is what the high priest back then for the Jews, you know, for the Israelite nation, they had these high priests set up. They had the ephod, they had the breastplate, they had the turban. All these things are all representing Christ. All these things are representing Christ in some way. And there's things like, you know, what a high priest is, a job selection. Well, he must be selected amongst the people. Why? Why can't somebody from Russia come right here and represent us? Or somebody from Japan, you know, come here and represent us as in snowshoe. Would that be okay? Probably wouldn't work out so well at the beginning, especially. Why? Yeah, he's not one of us. Yeah, he doesn't know our culture. He doesn't know the language that well. When we went to Thailand, man, we were sitting there weird. We couldn't say hardly anything in Thai except for hello and thank you and stuff like that. Oh, oroi mat, which means very delicious. That bakery still gets in me. So, you know, but you got to get to know the people, right? You got to know how they live, what they are up against, what gives them joy, what are they struggling with, what are their traditions, their worldviews, you know, all those type of things. So that's why you select a high priest amongst the people. And then they're appointed to represent the people. So not only are they chosen from, but they're to be representatives, kind of like a congressman, right? Kind of like the congressman. We choose them to represent us. Now we got a representative. Now he's representing us to who? He represents the people to God, this holy God. See, when they met him in the desert on Mount Sinai, and they said, oh, we can't, don't talk to us, we're afraid of you, you're going to consume us with because you're a great fire, and they're right. Instead of drawing close to him, they put a big wall up between them and God. So now they needed a special representative. You know, and this high priest is there. Did you know that? Remember in 1 Peter when we're going through that, we are a royal what? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a royal what? Priest. You're of royal priesthood. We are priests. We are. So you can put yourself up here too now. Offer gifts and sacrifices. You know, there in chapter 9, I'll read that to you. Verse 7, it says this, but only the high priest entered the inner room, the most holy place, right? Only the high priest could do that. And that only once a year. Ooh, man. And never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. So, you know, when we're doing things, you know, the Israelites back then, you know, they did something stupid, you know, they sinned. Well, when they recognized that, they would take an animal and take it to the priest and they'd slit its throat. You know, the blood represents, you know, that, you know, they're dying. They should die for their own sin, right? So that they put their hands on that animal and it's kind of like, now you are me and you're dying in place of me. And that blood cleanses that sin, right? It takes away. But it really didn't. I mean, for them, the sacrifices were temporary and the blood of the animals really wasn't enough, as we read in Hebrews later on. But it was just something God initiated this Old Testament sacrificial system. And it was a gift to the people so they can help them, you know, relate and even draw closer to God, because otherwise, you know, he is this consuming fire. How am I, you know, God's desire is to live amongst us, but how is this holy God going to live amongst a sinful people? Well, we find that out a little bit later, too, in this. So he's going and making these sacrifices for us, for the people, for himself, too. Yeah. He has to come into that once a year. He comes on with this blood for himself first and then for the people to make us right before a holy God. And then it says here, he deals gently with the ignorant and those going astray. You know, so he does have to be empathetic. He's part of us. He knows us. He's weak. He struggles too. So he knows our struggles. So he's able to, you know, show us a little mercy, show us a little grace. You know? Yeah, I know you did that. I did that. I know. I've done that too. I can't get real mad at you. But I can pray for you. I can represent and offer this sacrifice to God for you. To atone for the sins, to cover the sin. It's kind of like a, you know, like right now we have this cover over the communion, you know. You know, it's like he covered the sin at that time. That is a high priest. And that's what, you know, part of what we do too, all right? We can pray for others. We can show grace to others. We'll talk a little bit more about, you know, the gifts and sacrifices, but, you know, we're not doing that as much. We're not doing that anymore, not with the animals, but with our prayers and with the Word of God, we can. And we can represent people. And God certainly selected us. So that's the job description. You know, the whole Old Testament sacrificial system, I just thought about this arrow. Because the whole Old Testament, you know, all the prophecies, all the law and stuff like that, it's all pointing towards the target of the cross of Christ. People say, well, what does the Old Testament have to do to the New Testament? Well, if you look at it, a lot. Because these people, Isaiah, all these other Moses, you know, Abraham, all these guys, it's all pointing to Christ. And all these sacrifices are pointing to Christ's ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. These are just foreshadows, foreshadowing what Christ is going to make perfect. The things that were incomplete were made completely perfect in Christ. Hit that target, right? So why do we need a high priest? I mean, sometimes I go, isn't that back then, Israelites and all that stuff? Well, we need one because I tell you something, God wants to live amongst us. And if a holy God wants to live amongst us and live in us, then we need to get something. We need to get right with him. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And otherwise, if he really did come down now, we would all be burned up without Christ because his holiness would just be overwhelming. It's kind of like those laser guns where people, remember those sci-fi movies, they'd shoot somebody and they would just, and then hit them and then they'd just dissolve into nothing and ash on the floor. That's probably what would happen to us for a holy God. Yeah, Erica's going, yeah. I watched that movie last night. But what's going on here? Why do we need a high priest? Truthfully, you know what's going on? Look at those guys. What are they doing? They're fighting. If you looked at Romans 7, you want to turn back there, and what Randy read, there, verse 21 to 25, there is a spiritual war going on inside us. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. All right? There's a spiritual war going on in us because the world is saying, you're mine. And you're going, no. I'm Jesus's. And the world's going, no. There's a donut over there. Get it. And I'm going, no, I need Jesus more than a donut. And then I bite the donut and go, oh, failed again. What a wretched man I am. Who can save me from this body of death? Who? Well, it says right there, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a spiritual war going on. And I tell you something, you think you can win it on your own with your own self-discipline and with your own philosophies and all the world system and all that stuff? Well, good luck for you. I'll meet you on the other side of all that. Christ is still here. Because I tried. I tried for 29 years. It wasn't going well for me. Praise the Lord for that. He knocked me down. It's so interesting what Jesus said to Peter there in Luke 22. If I can get to that. I mark these off sometimes there. And he says this. He says, Simon. This is Peter. He just another name for him. Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. He just wants to just tear you apart like a roaring lion. He wants to eat you, devour you, destroy you. That is his ultimate goal. And whatever it'll take, a donut here and a donut there to do that, and yeah, he's going to put those Bavarian chocolate ones and he's going to have those cream-filled ones. You're getting hungry? Those strawberry jam-filled ones. Just lead you down the path. That's what he does. He doesn't just hit you right off. He just puts those little crumbs and leads you down. Every time you make a decision, moment-to-moment decisions you make, that's going to choose the path you're going on. That's going to guide you. And unless by his grace he hits you like Paul on a Damascus road and knocks you down, Now, some people weren't knocked down. By God's grace, he entered their lives in a different way. But he's saying, see, Jesus knows what's going on. And then he says what? There in 32, he says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. We need somebody to pray for us. Jesus intercedes. Did you know that? Jesus is interceding for us. And if you turn to that Romans 8, if you turn that one, 8:26-27, Joy was talking about, you know, we've been reading through Romans right now in our devotions, and she's talking about this. You know, not only is Jesus praying for us, but listen to this. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, that there's a struggle going on, right? We're fighting. It seems like we're fighting against ourselves at times. So the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Not only is Jesus praying for us, we got the Holy Spirit interceding for us. We're in a huge, the souls of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, but the whole world, those who don't know Jesus yet as their Lord and Savior, there's a battle going on. And our VBS is two kingdoms, right? You got the kingdom of light, and you got the kingdom of darkness. You got the kingdom of hell, you got the kingdom of heaven. You got the kingdom of Satan, and you got the kingdom of God. And what are you choosing? And I tell you something, you need God to choose you. And he is continually working. He is at his work. Remember, they say he rested. Well, he rested from his creation work, but not from his salvation, redemption work. It's continual. He is not stopping. So we have this high priest that we need, because he's the one interceding for us. He's the one representing us for a holy God, for that great judge that just judges justly. You can't manipulate him. You can't get out of it. What you did is what you're going to get, right? Why is he great then? They say he's the great high priest. Jesus is the great high priest. Well, as we go back there to our scripture, if I go back there to chapter 4, and then start reading these things. Therefore, we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven. Okay, so first of all, he's ascended into heaven. that's pretty great. Jesus, the Son of God. Well, I tell you something, if I'm going to have a representative, we were doing our new members class and talking about the Savior, and there's an advocate. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. He's the one representing us. He's going before us, helping us, right? And so he is this high priest. He is the Son of God. Well, I tell you something, if the Son of God is advocating for me, representing me like a lawyer, my lawyer, oh, I'm happy. If it's somebody else, I'd be going, oh, I don't know if he's going to be able to cut it, you know. But this guy, what was that, F. Lee Bailey? You remember F. Lee Bailey, that famous lawyer? So that, yeah, Dick knows, yeah. Even him, you know, he comes up there. Or you got a Henry Kissinger, you know, a great ambassador, you know, some of that coming up there. Just God would go, huh? What do you got? You don't have what you need. No, you need the Son. And he says, well, what is it? Well, he came, people ask questions, why did Jesus have to be born as a human? You know, both this man, God, amongst us? Because he's going to be chosen from amongst us. Because he's going to know us. He's going to know everything about us. He's in touch with us no matter what age we're in, because he's lived it. He's been tempted more than we ever been tempted. He's been up against, yet, even through all those temptations, he did not sin. He did not sin. Chosen by God. And it says here, he's in an order. His priesthood is not a Levitical priesthood, which is just man. Man dies and you have to get another guy in there. You know, man has to represent themselves with the blood, I mean, get blood to represent themselves before to become God. But here, he's a priest forever in the order of not Levitical, not the Levites, but of Melchizedek. Go back, this is your homework, Genesis 14. Go and meet Melchizedek, the priest of God. A lot of people think that was Jesus. I believe he was. So he has a priesthood that's forever. He has continual access before this holy God. You know, God, you know, for the other guys, you know, they can only, once a year, they can only come before him. And that was probably too much. But with Christ, he's there constantly. He's in heaven. He's right there with the Father right now going, hey, John, yeah, he likes donuts, but hey, he's okay. Other than that, I got him. Because not only did I cover his sin, but through my death, I've now erased it. It is gone to be remembered no more through my blood on the cross. I died for him. He is mine. I redeemed him. I paid for him with my blood. He is mine. I am his lawyer. I'm his advocate. He's okay. She's okay. Levitical priests, they offered animals, the blood of animals. Find out later on, it's just not good enough, truthfully, but God allowed it for that time. It's a temporary thing. Remember, it was pointing to what Christ did. It was incomplete, but Jesus, he didn't offer an animal. Who did he offer? He offered himself. His own blood. If you want to read Hebrews 7:23-8:1, do so. And we'll be getting to that as time goes on. He is great. Praise the Lord for that. And we do need a high priest. Oh, yes. Because without him, we're hanging in a wind. And there's a lot of danger out there. In fact, we will get gobbled up. There's no other way. So we need this high priest that made the impossible possible. Really, making the impossible possible. So what are the rewards of holding on? Well, as we read here, you know, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Because Jesus, he's my friend, he's my brother. You know, he's right there. I can go and have you ever done that? Have you ever been somewhere and you would never go in on your own? But because if there's a good friend or a family member in there, you just kind of go, yeah, I belong. I belong here, right? Have you ever done that? I know I have. Other ways I would go, I don't belong there. I can't get in. I don't belong there. But when I have a friend or a family member in there, I go, I'll just go right in. And my obnoxious self will go right in there. But with confidence. Confidence in who? Myself, right? Yeah, right? I'm great. We were talking about that earlier too. I'm righteous. No, it's not, I'm not, if I come in my own confidence, oh boy, I'm in trouble because it'll come back at me because I can't come with confidence in myself, but I come in confidence in who? Christ alone. My high priest, my advocate, my best friend, my savior, my Lord, my coming king, my healer, my sanctifier. It's wonderful. So we can pray, right? You got some prayers? You got some people you want to see saved? You want people who need some help? People need some courage? People who need healing? Who pray. You can do it confidently. All right? We receive mercy and grace in our weakness. And that's where confession comes in. That's where, remember that double-edged sword we're talking about last week? And I probably will explain a little bit more next week. It's sharp. It's sharp for a reason. Because it's going to cut through all that hard-heartedness of ours, which is sin of unbelief. And it convicts us. It causes us to go, oh, man. Like when I did before that TV set with the TV preacher, and it just went, boom, Jesus died for me. What? I don't deserve that. I don't deserve it. Hit the floor. Get real. Know my sin. Confess my sin. Ask for forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. Repent and walk in the way of Christ forevermore and be blessed. To be a blessing. Not only are you receiving a blessing, but you are to be a blessing. That's the Abrahamic covenant that God made with them. You're blessed to be a blessing. So are we. As priests, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are to be representative. We are praying for people in hopes to bring them into the kingdom, in hopes that their hearts will be convicted, in hopes that they will meet the truth and they will fall down and go, oh, my sin, like Peter in that boat. Oh, get away from me, Jesus. I'm a sinner. Yes, good. Good. Now you recognize that. Hallelujah. That is the greatest thing that could ever happen. Greatest gift that you can ever receive besides salvation is that knowing that you are a sinner and that you need help. Because that's what I found. And I've been so thankful that he revealed that to me. Confession. We can confess. Holding firmly, we confess. We have eternal salvation and obedience unto that. The riches are ours. The kingdom is ours. The inheritance that never, what? Never perishes, spoils, or fades is ours for eternity. Adoration. Adore him in our lives. Remember these promises and hold on to them. Take hold of them, right? The joy of being a brother of Christ, a family member of God. And the riches that he has for us. And for us to hold out this good news to others. The bad news, not good enough. Good news, Jesus is. Jesus is. This high priest come in with his own blood before the Father, before this holy God that wipe out the whole universe because he created it. And just a little snort of his nose or a little thought, he comes before him and says, these people are mine. They're okay. And there in 8:1, it says this. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest. People are saying, what? Why do we need a high priest? Do we need a high priest? And is he really great? He is. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Hold firmly, right? And then we go to another passage in Hebrews that says, let us what? You know what? Let's all read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. That day is approaching. Priests of Christ. That's what you are. We have a great high priest that has done it all for us, completed it perfectly. He's waiting for, you know, he's done it for us. Now we are priests to go and represent others before the Father in prayer and in word. And you just continue to pray for them and encourage them in the word of Christ, that living word, that active word, that sharp word, and to stand firm in it, and to really to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. And we have access to the Father continually through Christ. Through Christ. We don't have to go, oh, I don't know if he's ready for me or not, or I can go in there. No. He's waiting for us. So hold firmly to that. Hold firmly to something that which is eternal and which is very precious for us and for those around us. Let's pray. Father, yeah, thank you for the great high priest that you sent in Jesus Christ. We needed a representative, someone who knew us, who has been through everything like us, to represent us. And you chose him. You appointed him for this. And then he offers these gifts and sacrifices. His own body, his blood for us. And that's what communion is about, that we remember what you did, Jesus, for us as our great high priest, representing us and giving us everlasting life, and where our sins are forgiven and erased and not remembered ever again. All of our sins. So thank you for this great high priest. For there is a battle waging within us. And we know if it's waging within us, and then there's a lot of loved ones who don't know the Lord yet, they don't even understand what's going on. They're just going to be those who fall by the wayside if we don't wake them up. Lord, we need you. We need you to wake them up, and we need to do our part in praying for them and speaking the truth and love to them and walking in it with thanksgiving and praise so others can see this, even through our weaknesses, Father, that you'll use our weaknesses. You'll use us to bring glory to your name. Bless this message, Father, and may we take it with us every day. We just thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.